Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
It's Friday night, we're on the South Bank, people have vats of wine. What is that? What? How large is that?
This is my chalice.
It's a chalice of wine.
It's a chalice of grapefruit cider.
It's a chalice of grapefruit cider. It's very Game of Thrones, isn't it? Wow. Are you offering me some?
Yes.
Ooh!
That's incredible. Oh my God, do you want some?
I'm tempted to down.
Well, I mean, yes or no?
Am I allowed?
Yes!
I can't do that. I'm a shit back. All right.
Are you going to be all right if you can drink all of that and then you're going to do a show? Can I just check what the ticket price was before you do that? Oh, no, too late. Oh, my God. I hope someone's getting a fair photo of this. Who works here who could get this lady another drink? Because, what was it?
It was a grapefruit cider cocktail.
A grapefruit cider cocktail. Tom, if there is anyone who works here other than us, can we have three of those? One for the lady in front row, one for each of us. It's a grapefruit cider cocktail.
It's really great.
Yeah, it's really great. Grapefruit cider cocktail, and everyone should get one from the bar afterwards. There we've really added to the takings. I think we'll get a bonus. I'm a feminist, but when I'm in yoga and the teacher says, don't do this next pose if you're menstruating, I always think, I don't want anyone to know if I'm menstruating. And the other day, I was next to a very handsome man on an adjacent mat, and the teacher said, don't do this next pose if you're menstruating. And I was not menstruating, but I couldn't really do the pose. And I thought, this guy's going to think. So I just did a version of it in order to stop a man I didn't know thinking I was on my period when I wasn't. And I think I did something to my neck.
Oh, I'm a feminist, but I've been watching the fall and I really recognise that Gillian Anderson is great at her job, but I can only think, God, I want that blouse. The way that lady wears a blouse. Oh, my God.
The way she wears a blouse.
You wear a blouse. I've got sexy clothes.
No, she owns that blouse.
I'm a feminist, but tonight I went to yoga and there was a woman on the mat next to me who was considerably thinner than I am, and she could hardly do any of the poses that I could do and kept falling over. And I thought, well, that's nice. Do you know what it does? It rewards you turning up to the mat every day.
Yeah.
That's what's fair about yoga.
Yeah.
So it's not that I wished that very thin woman ill every time she toppled over. I didn't. And one time I even offered her a brick.
Good for you! Yeah.
I was slightly patronising about it, to be honest with you. But I was very pleased about the whole situation.
Yeah. See? No, I'm in the minority, and this isn't the right room.
Oh, God.
But I know it's controversial, but I still think people who go to yoga...
Yes.
A twat.
Why are you applauding that? What are you saying? See, I love yoga. I love it.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm a feminist, but when I saw that Ashley B had a role in the fall, I was so pleased because I could ask Ashley to ask Gillian where she got a blouse.
Like, what? She was going to turn around and go, M&S. And she'd say, the Steiner Stylesman. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
We're leaving.
If you're listening at home, 3 goblet cocktails have just arrived. I've just realised we've got guests coming on, but I can share mine with Kima.
No, no.
Okay, fine. I was going to say if you could share yours with Ellen, but no.
No.
No. Okay, all right. All right, we'll cross that bridge. We'll cross the bridge. We can't ask people to go out again. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I'll share mine.
Yeah, we'll see.
If any of it's left by the time they come, sure.
Yeah.
The politest thing would be to just down them. So don't... No. No! No! These people have paid to be here. Sip it like a lady. I'm a feminist, but I just said sip it like a lady. Jesus, we haven't gone to the woke stuff yet. We have not.
They're turning.
They really are. You are winning them over. And I don't understand why, because you're so evil.
See, I can say anything in this voice. Cause it's cute.
Are you even disabled?
No. Sorry, drinker. That happened to me once at a gig.
Yeah.
I was in the toilet and two girls came in and said, "Who was your favourite?" And she went, "Oh, the one with cerebral palsy." Me. Obviously. You don't book two.
No. No, that's a rule. Baby, don't book two women in comedy.
No.
Much less two women with cerebral palsy. You'd be lucky to be on the bill with another person called Rosie, much less. Yeah. No.
And then the other friend said, "Oh no, she didn't have cerebral palsy. She was a character comedian."
No. What?
They found out my secret.
Did you then pop out of the loo and say, "I do have cerebral palsy"?
No, I just sat there shitting.
You are a terrible person. Now, I'm a feminist, but when Samantha Bee called Ivanka Trump a cunt, I thought, accurate use of that word. Well done, Sister Bee. But when Rosie Jones called me a twat, I thought, too far, not feminist.
Oh, if you want, we could redo it and I could call you a cunt. I'm a feminist, but my favourite pastime is staring at tits.
For the listeners at home, Rosie is now staring at my tits. They're not that large, so it's, you know, I don't feel...
It's all right. We'll have more later.
More what? Tits. Oh yeah, there are more tits coming out. Yes, just to be clear, that's why the empty chairs are here, for tits. For tits on this feminist show. We've invited four more tits on. That's correct. Live from the Belly Theatre on Southbank in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White. Guest co-host Rosie Jones and very special guest Kima Bob and Ellen Jones talking about image. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. Have you had a guilty week or a feminist week?
Oh, every week's a guilty. 2 weeks. Oh, bloody hell. What have I done?
I don't know. What have you done? I mean, it sounds a bit now like you're talking to the police. What have you done this week?
A lot of drugs.
Have you?
No.
The thing is with Rosie Jones, you never know. You don't ever know.
She's literally... I think you must be in the 10 naughtiest comedians on the circuit, I would say.
Oh, yeah! Top three!
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to have ranked you. So no.
But, back to jokes. I haven't, Mum. But I really want to try MDMA. Because I reckon I'll be normal.
What do you mean? Because it speeds you up?
Yeah, I'd be like...
I've never taken MDMA, but I hear that it makes you very floaty and happy and slows you down. So I don't think that is what you need. Yeah.
Why did you hear that?
A friend told me who had taken some at a party. I wasn't at the party. I was at home reading books about feminism.
So what? Do I need
cocaine? That would do the job. That'll speed you up.
Right.
Yeah.
So, has anyone?
Has anyone got any cocaine? I mean, you must. It's the South Bank. Yes, they do. But this will they say? The question is not, has anyone got any cocaine? Will anyone admit to having any cocaine? You
Come
can give us a
secret. I'm disabled. It's like charity.
Listen, if anyone has got any cocaine, if you could just discreetly come round to the dressing room door and just say, I'm a fan of Rosie Jones and I have a little present for her, they won't question that. Say it's fan art. Yeah. Or I've made her a cake, because that's convincing. That happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they say great that I'm starting this at my early career. Because when I get bigger and bigger, which I will.
No doubt. No doubt.
I won't get like shitty cake or like cards. I'll get coke.
Yeah. Any cake that you were bringing for Rosie that you now feel you don't want to offer her because she's called it shitty, I will have. Just to be incredibly clear. So we're talking about image today. How do you feel about image?
Well, it's changed for me recently because I used to be no one, but I recently did a little TV show, so now I'm a big deal. I am. So now, when I'm wobbling down the street, people recognise me.
You did Silent Witness?
Yeah, so it was really good. So now, every day someone will come up and say, oh, it's you! And I love that. Because I bloody love attention. It's great. And that other week, two women ran up towards me. And I thought, yeah, naturally. So I stopped for my fans, and they said to me, hello, can we pray for you? What? And I went, why? Like, surely the better things to pray about. like more drink. And they said, we want to pray for you to make you beautiful.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I just went, mate, are you blind?
I don't know, but it's extraordinary. And also, you are beautiful. But also, if you wanted to pray for somebody, you could just do it in your own time. You really don't need to chase them down the street and get their permission and insult them.
Also, have you seen me walking? Don't chase me. Just walk.
Were you tempted to say... No, you can't pray for that, but you could try praying the gay away.
Yes, because that is my biggest disability.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. It's Deborah from The Guilty Feminist. Just letting you know that I have a book coming out in September. It's a book called The Guilty Feminist, and it's got lots and lots of new stuff in it. I've got lots of more time to unpack things that I wouldn't normally get time to talk about in the podcast, but there's also some old favourites in there that some of you have requested. Now, you can come to an event, and you will get a book in your event ticket price. And then I will sign it for you because I will be at the event. It'll be like a Q&A and a discussion, and I'll do a reading from the book, and I will come and meet and greet everybody. Now, the first event is on the 2nd of September at the Tabernacle in London. Then I go to Birmingham, then Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, Glasgow, and Brighton. And I'm sure we'll add some more dates in there. If you go to guiltyfeminist.com and scroll down, you'll see book, click on that, and you can pre-order the book there. Or if you'd prefer, you can come to an event and you will get a book in the price. We are at the Edinburgh Festival on Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th of August at the Underbelly. They have just released more tickets for that. So get in now and grab tickets while you can. On September the 17th, we will be at the Northern Stage, Newcastle. And on the 10th of October, we will be at the Barbican Hall with Guardian Live. That will be the same sort of show as one of the Palladium shows. So get in now and book quickly for that. On the 20th of October, we're coming to Liverpool to be at the Playhouse. And you can find details of all of these shows at guiltyfeminist.com. Also, we are going to start doing events in Calais. If you would like to perform at one of these events, if you do music, if you do comedy, if you do storytelling, or if you do poetry, please get in touch. And if you teach yoga or any other therapeutic skill, please get in touch if you would like to be involved. If you don't do anything like that, but you think you'd like to go over as a producer one week, i.e. take over a clipboard and organize everything and make sure the performers are in the right place at the right time, or you can drive a car and you would be happy to drive a carload of performers, teachers and other volunteers over, please get in touch at calais@guiltyfeminist.com and Jonquil or Anna will get back to you. At this stage, we're just looking to schedule events. We haven't started the operation yet, but it will start soon. So please let us know as soon as you can. I want to let you know that one of our listeners, comedian Natalie Cutler, is doing a show called Not Yet Suffragette at the Edinburgh Fringe. And £1 from every ticket sold will be donated to help refugees. She is also very soon taking a van load of supplies and tents out to Calais. If you have a tent or a sleeping bag that you could donate, please email Natalie at tentsforcalais@gmail.com and she can arrange to take your tent or sleeping bag out. The email is tentsforcalais@gmail.com. That's tentsforcalais@gmail.com. We are looking for a small group of Guilty Feminist listeners to organise posters and meeting places for protests and marches. If you would like to be involved in the Guilty Feminist protest and march team, then please contact us at guiltyfeminist@gmail.com. Back to the show.
Okay, are we ready for some stand-up comedy? Yeah! Rosie Jones!
disabled because there are several things that I am great at. My favourite thing being masturbating. The warbles do come in handy. And I love sexual fantasies. I love taking myself away to a whole different situation. And my favourite sexual fantasy starts on Ryan Gosling's doorstep. I know where he lives. And I knock on the door and he's out. So I let myself in naked. I have a yogurt. I watch Shrek 3 times. And after they're about 8 hours, Eva Mendes, Ryan's wife, comes in and says, "Hello, Rosie. Ryan died." And then she bursts out crying. I've never seen anyone cry so much. She's on the floor. I don't know what to do. And when she can't cry anymore, I fuck her. So I'm gay. I'm very gay. I'm so gay that I want Ryan Gosling to die. I'm only just talking about being gay on stage, and I'm doing it for one main reason. It's because I've run out of material about being disabled. It took me so long to come out to myself, because I thought, I'm not gay, I'm disabled. That's my thing. I can't tick 2 books. to my mum and dad. And I don't know why, but I was really nervous. I didn't want them to react badly. But I thought, wait a minute. I'm a comedian. If I have homophobic parents, so I came out for the story and I got ready. I made it at Christmas because the only problem about Christmas is it's not about me. I really wanted them to react badly. I wanted my mum to start crying. I wanted my dad to punch a wall or better, punch me. And I got ready and I said, Mum, Dad, I like girls, I'm gay. And I never forget what they said. They said, Rosie, we love you. You're our little girl. And we don't care. Pricks. What do I do with that? So I punch my dad. You have all been lovely. Bye-bye.
Rosie Jones, everybody!
Hello there. You've heard a lot about Brexit on this podcast and the possible impact it will have on women and vulnerable people. Now, one of my very favourite straight white men, Guilty Feminist producer and my husband, Tom Selinsky, has co-written and directed a very funny satirical play about it. It's called Brexit and it stars Timothy Bentinck, who you might know from The Archers, with Mike McShane, Hal Cruttendon, Pippa Evans and Joe Caulfield. Incredible comedy names and Edinburgh stars. I've seen a preview and it really is wonderful stuff. Funny, biting, and the cast is fantastic. You can get tickets now for the Edinburgh Fringe run in August by going to brexitplay.co.uk. And if you use the code GUILTFEMPOD, you can get £2 off your ticket. If you won't be in Edinburgh in August, but you are in London, you can get tickets now for the two London previews on the 27th and 28th of July. Once again, go to brexitplay.co.uk for tickets.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our first guest is a comic, actress, and comic actress. Born in Houston, Texas, and now living and working in London, please welcome Kima Bob! Our second guest was Stonewall's Young Campaigner of the Year for 2017. You may have read about her recently in The Observer. She's an activist, writer, and YouTuber. Please welcome Alan Jones! Hello, hello, Ellen Jones.
Hello.
Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
So I do a lot of very serious activism work, by which I mean I sit in my room with a camera and talk about being gay. Congrats on being one of the only people I can think of to actually book two gay disabled women and let us sit next to one another.
Well, guys,
we're not allowed
to know me.
Three.
I'm Pan.
Woo!
Yeah, does I'm living my best queer life.
Woo. Yeah. Well, I've come to the conclusion that the best representation is majority representation.
Nice.
Because I feel like if I have three queer... Am I allowed to use the word queer just to Gus? Because I was using it as a great catch-hold because I thought it's a really lovely umbrella word.
Yeah.
And then somebody wrote in and went, oh, I feel sad when you say queer because that's what people used to say to me in the playground. And I'm like, I feel like it's been reclaimed and we're meant to be using it. But he said, could you please use LGBTQI+? And I'm like, that's not very folksy.
It's a lot more syllables.
Yeah. So I don't know. Ellen, you're the queer teen activist. Tell me, what should I say?
I mean, I'm not being funny, but I was told to go fuck myself for being a lesbian. So queer is a much nicer word for in the playground. That was the word that was never said to me.
Okay, all right,
So it's kind of an age thing. You can call me a queer.
Okay,
call me a queer. Maybe right, don't shout it down the street at me, but...
Yeah. But I don't want to say lesbian because Kima's pansexual, so like...
Okay. Are we all in agreement? Should we have the flat...
I could be like temporary.
Tell them a student. Do we have the table
for
vote?
For the next hour.
No, you can't be temporary lesbian if you're pansexual.
That's... No, we can...
You can't tell me the rules, straight lady.
Fair enough. Okay. For this episode, because it's going to come up a lot, I'll say queer, and other times I'll say LGBT.
Yeah.
So if I have three queer guests on... Also, do you identify as disabled?
When I apply for jobs.
you talk about mental health, yeah?
Yeah, I have bipolar disorder.
Oh, same!
Okay. Oh, what's up, girl? We should be sitting closer. Do you want to date and have a really destructive relationship? Sounds great.
Oh, and now I want a mental illness.
Well, yep, you got it. How was your childhood, you know? Might have one.
It was great.
Yep, start unpacking that. See what pops up.
I've discovered if I have two or three women of colour on, if I have two or three queer women on, there's a different sort of discussion. Instead of, like, one woman of colour having to explain black to everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, on this occasion, you have to explain black to us all, Kima.
Okay, black. Where do we begin?
See?
With a cocktail.
No. Mm-hmm. You just have different discussions when it's a shared experience than when it's a didactic teaching role.
Yeah.
And so I'm really enjoying majority representation. It does almost invariably put me in a minority, but I also think that's good for a white, cis, middle-class person who is not disabled. I think I'm probably bi or pan. I don't know which one of those.
It's okay.
I don't know, but I'm probably one of those. But
you don't have to know.
But I don't know. Okay.
Don't worry. We'll find out later.
Good.
We're here for you. If you ever have questions, want to make out.
Okay, so...
Just to make it perfectly clear, We're not trying to out Deborah.
Oh, we are.
But I feel like I don't know if my queerness would go as far as like a relationship or if it's more like a sexual thing. And so I don't know where that puts me on the pantheon.
We'll explain the split attraction model when we don't have to, you know, amuse the audience. Mm.
I think the audience would be very interested in that.
Yeah.
I know someone who is bi, but, like, only fucks men. Like, she only dates women and she only fucks men.
What?
She just can't get down with dating them.
What? She only dates women and she only fucks men, but don't women she's dating get upset that she has
sex with women as well. Oh, but okay. I was using fuck as like a throwaway, like she fucks men.
Yeah.
She makes love to
women. Yeah. Okay.
Because
she fucks them.
thank you.
Throwaway love.
Got it. No, I understand now.
Because actually, to be technical, there's a difference between sexual and romantic. So your friend sounds like a homo-romantic bisexual.
Holy shit! Oh my God!
Rosie fucking Jones! This is what we need to know. So this is, in terms of image, and, you know, you guys are all, you know, intersecting on various sort of...
Axes
for what people project on you, how your gender expression is, all of those things. So this is an interesting discussion, and I'm afraid I've centered myself. This is fascinating for me because maybe then I'm bisexual, but heteroromantic.
Yes.
We are learning.
Layers of learning.
Now let's go for every single person. I'm working all out.
Okay. That might be considered rude in some audiences.
And if it helps you for me to shag you.
No, thank you.
You're like the sorting hat on steroids. Like, you're over
sexual
here, which is my house.
Sorting hat. So everyone just close their eyes. We've done this for ages when we got to feminists. Everyone just close their eyes. Just go, if you think you might be pan or bi, but you've never really gone there. Oh, it's okay. There's some of my people. Just go, if you identify as pan or bi, and you have gone there. Okay, more people. No one can see you hum. That's why we hum. Okay. All right. And if you know that you are not pan or bi, hum now. Ellen, you are skewing the sample by humming into a microphone. Okay, so you know you're not pan or bi. Okay, great. The dichotomy that Rosie pointed out, if you think you're one sexual and one romantic, like you're bisexual but you're heteroromantic, or one of those configurations, hum now. No, more people.
Ooh. It's not just you, Deborah.
Okay. And if you just learnt about that and you hummed, hum now. Oh, wow.
We've served our purpose of
changing
educating
lives.
You. Okay. Investing on labour.
Okay. If you couldn't hear that at home, loads of people hummed that they think that they are part
heteromantic bisexuals.
That's fantastic.
It's so almost really as if the human experience is more diverse than the labels we have for it.
It's amazing. This is like an epiphany. You've changed a lot of people's lives here. I think you've changed my life and you've changed a lot of people's lives.
Rosie. Stop it. To be honest, I had this like awakening a few years ago.
Oh, tell us all about it.
When I was like, right, what am I? I'm not straight, but what the shit can I label it? So I looked online and it's amazing.
What's online?
Because I thought I cannot say for 100% sure definite if I don't know.
Right.
So even trans, I have grown up as a female, feeling female, but I looked into it so much so I could say for definite, okay, that's not me. And I went through all the labels. I thought, am I asexual? No. I like tits. Am I bisexual? No. I like tits. And I landed at gay, lesbian. I prefer the term gay.
Same.
Because it takes me too long. But now I've researched it all, I can sit back and go, yeah, I'm happy with the label I've chosen for myself.
That's great. That's really great. Ellen?
Yes?
Do you feel sometimes an obligation as a teen queer activist to sort of project gayness, or do you sometimes feel gayness is projected on you in terms of your gender expression?
So most people don't assume that I'm gay, to the point that I've genuinely had people trying to talk to me as though I'm into men. And when I go, I'm gay, they go, no, you're not. Genuinely, the number of people who assume that I'm straight is baffling to anyone who knows me, to the extent that I kind of do end up introducing myself like, hello, I'm Ellen, I'm gay. Which I think if your parents named you after Ellen DeGeneres shouldn't come as a surprise. seriously. But there is like a certain kind of, I feel like I have to look certain ways and do certain things to prove that I am queer enough.
Yeah, because, I feel that, dude.
Yeah, and like that's why my hair became purple, because like there's kind of a queer aesthetic. I'm doing that in kind. I'm doing that in like very heavy inverted commas, because it's not something I necessarily agree with, but there is a lot of kind of expectations that if you're queer you'll have like shaved hair or like piercings and tattoos, and I couldn't deal with the pain, so I just went for the purple hair option.
That's interesting.
Like, there's a weird like aesthetic within the community, and I don't know if it's just people like signaling to each other, like,
yeah, I think,
oh,
it is like a safe
hoop earrings?
I feel like it is a, yeah, I feel like it is a, genuinely, but I feel like it is sometimes like a safety thing, is like you're looking for the people in the room,
yeah,
that you can be safe with. And actually the one thing that I'm very good at is going into a space and being able to work out, am I gonna actually be able to be my whole self there? Because there are a lot of situations, and I'd like to say that wasn't true, but there are a lot of situations I enter into where me being a young teenage lesbian was going to put me at risk, so I had to learn to be straight, which is very exhausting. I don't know how you all do it. It's honestly.
Yeah, obligation to be the norm actually is quite heavy on a lot of people, because you might not be gay, you might be straight, but you may feel like you have to conform to certain gender stereotypes.
When I first came out, I was 14 at the time, so what's that, year 9? And if you remember yourselves in year 9, were you as put together as you are now? No, you're running around trying to work out what you're doing with your life and also manage all your friendship groups, because that's a full-time job. So it was really hard for me, because everyone was constantly questioning me, going, how do you know you're gay? Are you sure you're gay? What's scissoring? What's lesbian sex? Like, genuinely, I couldn't go to a lesson without being asked like at least 20,000 invasive questions, to the point that people now have started, who I haven't spoken to in about 3 or 4 years, have started getting in contact with me being like, we're so sorry for the distress we caused you when you were younger, because they were being curious, whereas on my side it was, you know, being bombarded by questions all the time. Because if one person asks it, it's fine, but if it's like one person every 5 minutes, that's a very different thing. And that's why I run my series.
That's what you have about, was it you from Silent Witness?
Well, yeah, all the bloody time. Yeah. But to carry on from you, people talk about coming out as a singular action.
Yes.
All the time.
It's bloody not. I come out every day. Yeah. Like, I meet new people and they go, have you got a boyfriend?
I think my mother still hopes that I might. I don't know.
Men definitely does.
Yeah.
For sure.
I know. Like, I think also because I came out so young, I was, you know, a child, effectively, when I came out.
A chesbian. A child lesbian. It's terminology, just like all Ellen's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
facts here.
But it's like, I can understand people wanting to give people the space to change their mind. That's fine. But there's a difference between being like, you know, this is what you identify at the moment and that might change and that's okay. And like, I work with a lot of schools and what I see is that people being like, well, what if they change mind? I'm like, so what? Validate them while they're going through it. Let them explore themselves and give them a safe environment to do that. It's not hard.
Yeah. Well, when it's the other way around, nobody minds. If you identify as straight until you're 25, and then you go, hey, guys, I've worked something out, I'm gay, I mean, in our liberal bubble, everyone goes, oh, okay, that must have taken you a lot of, you know, self-awareness and courage and blah, blah, blah. But if you go, actually, I thought I was gay, now I'm straight, people go, deluded, we always said, like, you shouldn't come out too young.
To be fair, when you come out later in life, you just get told, oh, we all knew. It's like... Right. There's always going to be.
But you know what I mean, though. Like, when they say, like, you shouldn't identify as gay when you're a teenager in case you're not. No one says you shouldn't identify as straight as a teenager in case you're not. It doesn't flip it. I have a friend who actually works in a consultancy, and he talks about the issue of coming out. They have an allies network there.
Yeah.
Because he works with new clients all the time. He finds an ally on the job who works for his same company and says to them, would you mind now? Because his whole thing used to be, I've met the new client on a Monday. I don't want to say I'm gay right away because then that's the main thing about me and I'm the gay guy and I'm constantly gay, gay, gay.
Yeah. I mean, that's just my brand at this point.
But he said that's not the main thing about me at work. So I'm just like, but he said, if I haven't come out by Friday, I've lied and I'm in the closet. So he said on Thursday, the clock starts ticking. It's like an episode of 24. And he's like, between Wednesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon, I have to casually throw it away over my shoulder. Like, it doesn't really matter. And it's just something about me, but I have to get it out then or it will come out and then I've lied. And so he said he used to be able to say, oh, I'm meeting my boyfriend for drinks. But then he broke up and he was like, no, I don't have a boyfriend. And if I say, oh, I'm my ex, then I look like I'm a drama queen at work. So he was like, what do I say? So he decided an ally will now say, oh, you know, do you know Mark? He's in the LGBTQ network, or do you know what I mean? Like, they just find a way of dropping it in.
Yeah.
This is why you own a multitude of queer pin badges, which you can accessorize all of your outfits with in case anyone wasn't certain.
Oh, that's a good one, like a little rainbow. But
if your friend needs help, I have a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah, no, and also, like, there's this thing that I genuinely have to, if I'm going to speak in an event, because sometimes I speak at corporate things, and sometimes I'm speaking in schools, and I do lots of stuff, I have to plan my outfits well in advance, because I've got to look sufficiently gay that they know that I know what I'm talking about and I'm not doing it from an ally's perspective, but also not too gay that it'll distress people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same thing actually on Silent Witness.
Were you in Silent Witness, Rosie? You know what? You never mentioned it.
Silent Witness.
She never mentions it. She never ever mentions
it. And my character in it was straight, so everyone assumed I was, and it never came out in conversation.
You've done a very good job of bringing it up tonight.
But that's like so annoying, because what if you meet cute people from the show?
And it's like, the other thing with girls is like,
these are all wrong.
The thing with girls is like, you know when girls do that thing where they compliment each other and like a really like, you know, girls are all here for the girl power, got to compliment each other really nicely. It's like, are you flirting with me or are you just really kind?
Yeah.
The point where someone could be making out
how
with
much
like,
do
you're just
you
really,
like
really into girls. Like, you girl power all the way.
Yeah, but I got to a stage where we were 4 weeks into filming and someone said to me, who is your dream man? And I thought, oh God.
You thought dead Ryan Gosling?
And
dead Ryan Gosling.
I started panicking and I just thought, say any guy. And in that moment, I couldn't think of a single guy. And time was ticking and I got one, and I thought, it's got to do.
Oh, God.
And I just went, Kevin Costner.
I thought you were going to say Kevin Spacey.
No. Oh.
No.
All right, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But you thought it very loudly.
No.
But that's where my mind goes. Kevin Costner.
Look, it's good to know. That's your reserve if you need to be straight man. You pretend man.
Yeah.
This Mark, the friend of mine, he went to Italy once on his consultancy, and he said the very first thing that happened was the big boss said to him, we have to work here at this big open plan office, but all of the prettiest girls sit here, so you've got a great view. And it was the first thing
that job.
And so he went, oh, yeah, because it was too early. And he said, and then he was straight for 6 months.
That's what happens. Whereas I just make it very obvious, because I'm terrified, like, when I actually have to become a proper adult, one in which I'm not a student running around and sleeping until, like, 3 p.m., I'm going to have to do this, but I don't know if my CV just makes it very obvious anyway. Although that's another thing, is that people like me, by which you mean famous queer activists, we won't put our activism work or anything like that on our CVs because it outs us, and we're worried that if we out ourselves, then no one will hire us. And you think that sounds ludicrous, right? That sounds utterly absurd, but we won't do it.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
No.
Because I feel those vibes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, are they going to love that I was in the NAACP? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, because not only are you a queer person,
yeah,
you're apparently proud of it.
Yeah.
And you're fighting for it.
Yeah. And then you got to click the disabled box as well, at which point, you know, your chances of ever getting a job just seem to vanish.
Do you want to be me?
We should swap. Well, we were saying, no one realises that I'm disabled.
And no one realises that I'm gay.
So we can have a very profitable discussion.
Yeah. So we need to hang out all the time.
We need a Freaky Friday. And do
it. Kima, does being a woman of colour add an extra element in there to your gender expression?
It's interesting. What I'm finding lately is that button-down shirts are how I signal.
Yes.
I'm just, like, wearing, right, like, with a fly pattern, you know what I mean? And, like, when I see, like, the other, like, mask femme, you know, like, the mask girl's out, and we're, like...
You've got to choose, like, it feels like very much that you've got to choose a side. It's like, are you a femme or are you a butch?
And it's who am I tonight? How are people going to know what I like?
Yeah, genuinely, you have to communicate all of this subtle signals. I need a handbook.
Like, maybe when I go to, in the past, when I've hung out with, like, my friends, like, I've had, I have straight friends. I know. It's crazy. I don't know why I do it to myself.
Why?
I'm a straight friend. Well.
Yeah, but come on. You're not like the rest of them. You're one of the good ones. Articulate. I just had a whole moment.
So I'm heteroromantic. Sorry, I should have said that. Go on, continue.
Own your labels. So, chilling with a straight friend of mine who was a tad homophobic, the kind of person that, like, seeing Drag Race on the TV made her go, I don't know why that's happening. We tried to go out together, and when I was out with her, I knew that I had to put on my sexy lady costume because we were going to a straight place, and I was in dick mode. Like, I was like, we're going to this straight place. I know there aren't going to be queer people there. If I wear a button down, I'm getting no play, even from dudes. I had to put on a sexy lady costume. Like, presentation is a thing.
Do you feel it's a costume? That's really interesting.
Sometimes, like, I feel like me right now, but I chose to put this on, like, and not because I thought that anything would come of it. I didn't have an intention. But it's like in the dating world, you know, guys put on crazy hats, they're peacocking and shit. Like, I put on my button down and my sexy
lady
costume.
There's a whole, like, thing. And, like... Yeah. The nicest days are the ones where I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. But I also know that, like, especially as someone who's, like, seen as quite femme, if I decide to put on a binder and a guy shirt and, like, half my wardrobe is kind of my dad's, because I just stole it, like, I will get treated completely differently.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes, there's a whole... You have to decide how you're going to enter a space, how people are going to view you, and if you're okay with that. And I think this is the thing, especially with coming out so young and all this stuff, like, being like that, it's like, I can be a lesbian, but only if I'm going to be the best at everything else to compensate. Because it's like, I don't want to, the reason that, like, the person that I am or, like, who I am to be the reason that I don't get to do something because other people are being dickheads.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you feel that, Rosie? Do you feel you have to be, like, the best at comedy?
I do have a costume when I perform new material and I call it my gay costume and the trousers and the oversized T-shirt because when I feel gay, I feel more confident.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you have you tried a blouse?
Yeah. And that's the end of the show. To keep track of everything we're up to, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and go to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Rosie, you're in Edinburgh this year. What's your show called?
Fifteen Minutes.
Ellen, where should we find you?
YouTube.com/EllenJones.
And Kima Bob, where can we find you?
You can find me on social media at Kima's Voice, and I'll be at Fringe too.
You'll be up at the Fringe as well. Check out Kima Bob up at the Fringe. Amazing, amazing, amazing comedians. And Ellen is doing amazing things in the activism world. A big round of applause for Ellen Jones. Rosie Jones. I just want to say this. Sometimes they say, there are more CEOs called David than female CEOs in the world. And can I just say tonight, there are more gay disabled women with the surname Jones on our panel than there are men. I mean, and Kima Bob! You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Foster's wife, guest co-host Rosie Jones, and our very special guests, Kima Bob and Ellen Jones. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp, music was by Mark Hodge. The producer was Tom Selinsky for the sponsored data shop. Thanks to Tony and Hannah at PBJ Live, and everyone at The Underbelly, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Two people have just walked out, and I wonder if they've just gone, hold on a minute, I'm hetero, romantic, and bisexual. I'm going out to explore that fact.
I'm not wasting any time.
No, they don't even need to leave the room. Apparently, it's quite a common theme.
Exactly. Just find a partner here.
I mean,
if you're anyone wants welcome. To put their hand up, we could do Tinder Live.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I know you would. You would do anything. And that's not, it's not an indication.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.